welcome back to The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I am Natalie.
How are you, Natalie?
I'm okay. I told you I don't want to be like the sing-songy second person to introduce themselves.
Oh, right. Yeah,
you So I don't know how to...
So like, now you have to be just like
very
robotic.
Monotone, yeah.
You could like switch it up every time like...
Yeah, a different voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Natalie here.
Yeah.
So we just watched some TV.
We sure did, yeah.
I'm trying to think what else to talk about.
You know, I didn't tell you this morning when I was on my walk.
Oh, this is fun.
I take a morning constitutional.
You told me a story about your walk this morning.
Yes.
But I don't know if you want to.
I don't mind talking about it.
Yeah, fine with me. But this isn't the story you were going to tell.
I wasn't going to tell this story. Okay. So on this walk, two things happened that were strange. One man tried to show me his penis. I declined with a loud...
Forcefully.
I screamed, no, and ran away. But then I also
we're
found...
Like, well, we're laughing, but that's like a terrible thing
that
happens... This is not the first time.
It's not the first time, and I don't think it's uncommon for this to happen to women, and it's an assault basically, and I'm making light of it, you know, because it's not fun to talk about, but we make it fun here. Another funny thing that happened on the walk is there were $6 on the ground.
Hold on. First question.
Yeah.
Six single dollar bills.
No, it was a five and a one.
See, that's an important detail.
A five and a one. And I like with my, I didn't pick it up, but I moved it around with my foot. If there were going to be like a lot of them, the choice might've been different. I looked at, what would you do? What do you think I did?
I would just keep walking.
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
That's what I would do.
But I was like, what would it have to be for you to pick it up and pocket it? Like if you looked around and saw that it was clearly like not anyone's.
Huh. How much to pick it up and pocket it? I might do that for a 10.
Yeah, I have done it for a 10.
If it were two fives, I would probably leave it be, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, weirdly, I don't want to spend all day picking up money off the ground.
No, spend like, all day.
It's two bills instead of one.
It's one reach.
But I don't know. We sound like terribly privileged saying this right now because there are people who would like $6 would change their entire
day. And that's why I wanted to leave it because it would have made a fun, you know, treat for someone. So right.
You don't need it.
So. I don't need it. Yeah. I left it. It's not worth it to pick it up. And I was thinking like, oh, okay, maybe I can bring it to someone. But I'm like, no, let's let something happen with it.
I remember being at Six Flags when I was a kid with my mom and her friend Jean, whom we called Tuna. That's not important to the story, but it's,
I think it's important.
We called her Tuna because it wasn't a thing. This is another thing that you and I have talked about off mic. Like, my parents' friends weren't like aunt and uncle to us. That was just not like, because my parents are each one of five.
Right.
We had plenty of aunts and uncles already.
Right.
So like, mostly my parents' friends would be like Mr. or Mrs. whatever, or
so formal.
Yeah. But in the case of someone like Tuna, it was Tuna. Cause she was just like a cool, she was like another nurse. She was like a cool lady. She wasn't like a mom, didn't have kids of her own. So she would like hang out and take us to Six Flags and stuff. It was always
that's fun. Yeah.
But this was, I was at Six Flags with my mom and Tuna. And then I must have been little because we were in line. We were in the, is it called? I can't remember what it's called. It's not Toontown. What's the kid area at Six Flags? I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Snoopy's Village or, no.
No, that would be,
That would be
Knott's Berry Farm. Yeah. I can't remember what it is at Six Flags. And it could be different at different Six Flags.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're in line and I found a dollar on the ground. I like picked it up and I said to my mom, like, I found this dollar, like, what do I do? And she was like, you can have it. You found it. And I was like, what? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It was mind blowing. And I was like, I didn't have a dollar. I didn't do anything.
Now
not
I do.
Even a dollar.
Yeah.
Like I could buy some bubble gum. I could buy, you know, some Nerds or whatever I was into at the time.
Some Nerds. Yeah. Yeah. If I was a kid and I saw $6, I definitely would have taken it.
$6. Yeah. Especially because you could like,
you could buy a lot. You could buy a lot of Nerds.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
nerds ropes.
I've never had the nerds ropes. I've had the big chewy nerds.
Oh, not good. Yeah. I haven't had the nerds ropes.
I've had the sweet tart ropes.
Ugh, no thanks.
They were good. And you had them too. And you also had to kind of admit they were good.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay. I take it back. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
All right. See, we got our like settling into the podcast horse shit out of the way.
But is it kind of fun to know something, to learn something new for the first time?
Yeah. No, I'm not complaining at all. I think like, when we first started doing this podcast, I would just leap into like, straight here's what we do.
Yeah.
And then you were like, we should chat first. And now it's an absolutely integral part of the show that we like get our pacing and rhythm, partially because, as you've talked about on the show before, we watch the shows immediately before we record
and we don't speak.
Don't talk.
Yeah.
So like, it is a bit awkward that like, when you hear me say like, how are you, Natalie? It's like the first time we've talked in an hour.
Yeah.
Despite sitting right next to each other.
Yeah. But yeah, listeners, if you hate the banter, let us know. If you love the banter.
I say, normally, I want feedback.
Yeah.
But if you hate the banter, I'm sorry. It's not. I don't think it's going to go away.
Yeah, right? That's true. Yeah,
but I do want feedback.
Yeah.
I want to know. How will I know? All right, let's start talking about Friends Season 1, Episode 18, The One with All the Poker. So at the beginning of the episode, the whole gang, I sometimes go back and forth on shows like this, where there's like a group of friends who are just always hanging out together. Because I've never had that.
Yeah.
Like, I can relate to, like, a workplace comedy. You know, you see the same people every day at work or whatever. But I've never had, like, a group of friends, like, we're, like, a clique or whatever. We hang out all the time.
We've talked about this, and, like, sometimes I am sad that I don't have it. I think sometimes, when I was younger.
I also think that, like,
when I was in college, I did.
Like, it's just the same friends all the time?
I mean, basically, like, I had, like, you know, some school friends and some, like, work friends. But, like, at the end of the night, like, I would have, like, a bar hang with, like, a group.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
Yeah. There were people who, like, rotated in and out, but there was, like, a main kind of group.
I never had that same group of friends. But I don't think that... I think that I would get annoyed very quickly. It's sort of like... We have friends who are parts of friend groups like that who have like, we hang out with them and they'll start laughing about some inside joke that came on up on their text
chain or text like chain. They'll go on trips together.
Yeah. But specifically the text chain is what I want to talk about. Like, well, sometimes when that happens, I'm like, oh, I'm jealous that I don't like have an ongoing text chain. But then I remember how annoyed I get if one person texts me at all ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would leave the group. Yeah. After a day.
Yeah.
So I don't, I'm not cut out for this kind of friendship, unfortunately. But this is a very sweet thing that they're doing. They're all helping Rachel apply for jobs.
Yes.
She's done being a bad waitress. She wants to be bad at bigger and better things out there in the world. So they're helping her stuff resumes into envelopes because this is 1995.
Yeah.
She's not like filling out applications online. She's mailing her resume to places. And then there's a funny joke because there's a typo.
Which it's so sad that she writes computer.
Yeah.
And then she makes a joke like, do you think they're on all of them?
I like that.
And then Joey is like, no, I'm sure the Xerox machine caught it.
A few.
Dummy. But he like called her
even
out.
Even he.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. I didn't even think about that it was Joey who was calling her dumb.
It seems like such a Chandler line.
Yeah. But Chandler has a lot of smart alecky lines in this episode to varying degrees of success.
Yeah.
But speaking of Chandler, when we get to Central Perk, Ross and Chandler are like off on a different couch by the window.
A little side.
And then
combo.
The ladies sit down on the main couch,
which
is weirdly open at all times.
Yeah, for them.
That's so bizarre.
It doesn't stop them from screaming at each other from across the cafe.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone
they treat
else,
it like their living room.
Yes, it's so obnoxious.
But I imagine they spend a lot of money in there. So Ross and Chandler, and then Joey comes in, and Ross and Chandler start laughing because Joey, like, lost a bunch of money at poker the night before and started to cry,
yeah.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
Because there's a chocolate smudge on a 3, and he thought it was an 8, so yeah. He thought he had it. Here's what I'm going to say right now. It's going to come up multiple times in this episode. I don't know how to play poker, and it's a problem for me as someone who watches movies and TV shows where there are...
A poker game going on?
It seems like... Yeah, movies and TV shows use poker a lot, and I just have to be like, okay, I guess this game, like, I guess I'll have to just follow the cues of what this game means, but it's always kind of I'm always kind of just waiting for poker scenes to be over. So this episode was all poker scenes, essentially. Yeah, the title, the one with all the poker is...
It was, yeah, not just a clever name.
Yeah, not an exaggeration. It was a lot of poker. So they had this whole conversation here. A very funny moment from Phoebe where she's like, it's just guys. So what is this? Like some sort of thing where only guys are allowed? What is it? And then, and Ross is like, no, we would allow women to play. And she's like, okay, so what is this then? What is it?
So yeah, I think they're trying to build up this like battle of the sexes type, I don't know, poker night.
Yeah, so...
a conflict that, like, didn't need to happen. But I think this is common. Like, why can't we do that, too?
Yeah.
It's kind of eye-rolly.
So they go over to... we see, like, a lot of different apartments in this episode.
Ross,
so
they start at Monica and Rachel's.
Yeah. And that's a funny... how did you feel about that scene about how bad they are at poker? Because there's a lot of funny jokes in there, but mm-hmm. It did feel like the show had just gotten done commenting on like the sexism of girls don't understand poker,
right?
And followed it by a scene
in which
the girls just didn't understand poker at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, poker is kind of complicated, and there are different versions. I don't know if they were playing Texas Hold'em. Like, it was a little confused. I don't think they were playing Texas Hold'em.
I don't know.
I know, like, I've played poker before, and that's the version that I've played. I don't think I'm good at it, but as long as you know what beats what, you can kind of go from there.
Okay.
That's all that matters.
But like, they didn't even understand the concept of, like, you're supposed to keep your shit, like, secret. Like, it's funny that, like...
It's weird that they don't even know that, like, bluffing is a thing that you do. Even if you don't understand it or don't want to do it, you know that it exists.
Yeah. Yeah, like Phoebe specifically mentions like what card she's looking for, and Rachel's like, "Oh, I have one of those.
You can
have
it."
And Ross is like, "You can't do that," and she's like, "Oh no, it's fine. I'm just looking for fours."
And the girls are like very supportive of one another. Like, "Oh, look, I have four of these! Yay!" Yeah. Like they're all just like having fun with it, and the dudes are just like rolling their eyes.
There's a funny joke in here. I'm always like hesitant to point out funny jokes because I don't know if you have them in your like funniest moments segment, but I wanted to bring up the joke of Rachel says something like, so this is how you get your yayas, and Chandler says, I get my yayas at IKEA. You have to put them together yourself, but they're cheaper.
Yeah, that wasn't my favorite.
Okay. Well, it's funny. I thought it was a funny joke, but also... how many IKEAs were there in the U.S. in 1995?
Oh, I don't know.
Because now there's one in, like, every even, like, medium-sized city, it seems like. But, like, I don't even know when I first... I don't think I knew what IKEA was until Fight Club. You know, there's that whole, like, IKEA sequence. I think that was the first time I learned of what IKEA was. So I wouldn't have even known when this episode aired what it was. And I remember when I... lived in Chicago, when family would visit, one of the things they would often want to do is go out to the suburbs, go out to Schaumburg, and go to IKEA. Because now there's one in St. Louis, but there wasn't one in St. Louis. It was a big deal to, like, go to IKEA. I don't know. I guess they were driving, and they would, like, load up the car with furniture and shit. I don't know. I don't remember. But I was surprised to hear an IKEA joke in 1995 when I thought that was still a pretty rare thing.
Yeah.
But there must have been one. You lived in Los Angeles in 1995.
Yeah, but we didn't shop at IKEA. So I wonder when IKEA was known to me. I don't know.
Well, ooh, wow. The first IKEA in North America opened in Nova Scotia in 1975.
Hmm.
The first U.S. one opened in 1985. Why is it so difficult for me to figure out where the first one was? But anyway, yeah, it was a hit. Here's a New York Times article from March of 1986 saying, IKEA venture in U.S. a hit. So I guess it must have been, maybe I would, I just didn't know, but I was only 12 years old, so.
Yeah.
And we didn't have one in St. Louis. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Ross has an embarrassing speech about how he's like, stops being a nice guy when he plays poker.
Yeah.
Here, which I thought, like, I rolled my eyes and I was like, oh, of course Ross thinks he's a nice guy otherwise. The first red flag was Ross, like, I'm a nice guy most of the time. It's like, no, you're not, but you're exactly the kind of guy who thinks that about himself.
Yeah.
Ross is the, like, nice guy, like, you know, capital N, capital G, yeah. Like, nice guy as, like, a type to be cautious of.
Right. Totally. You missed when we were like early on at Central Perk. Oh, when yeah. The
always call me out when I miss stuff.
Well, I mean, it's just a observation, but when I guess Chandler and Ross were like sitting by themselves, Chandler was like, why don't you just tell her that you're in love with her? Like, he's clearly like pining after Rachel. So he's just like staring creepily at Rachel.
Yeah.
And it kind of pays off at the end of the episode, right? It's like, let's remind the audience that Ross, this still is like a love story.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So let's not forget like all these shenanigans that happen with the part one and part two. It had nothing to do with Ross and yeah. Rachel. And this beginning reminds us like, oh yeah, let's go back to this like main kind yeah. of motivator.
That's a great observation because like, yeah, we're coming from a place where like, even not having really watched the show, I know that Ross and Rachel are like a thing on the show.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, to put yourself into the viewers in March of 1995.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good.
And this episode starts and ends with that yeah. being kind of a central.
Then we go to a poker game with just, is this one just the dudes? At first,
well, they enlist the help of Aunt Iris to help.
Do I have my
to help the ladies play?
But isn't there one? There's so much poker in this episode. Isn't there another one that's just the dudes? And that's where we. Yeah, that's the episode. The scene, the first time that Marcel,
oh,
the fucking monkey,
yeah.
plays the Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Yeah,
which I do think is a good song. But
it's a good song. It's a little
I hate that monkey.
Yeah.
So yeah, then Rachel gets an interview at Saks as an assistant buyer. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get the scene where someone's Aunt Iris. I think
it's Monica. Yeah, it's a Geller.
Aunt Iris comes to teach the ladies how to play poker.
Yeah.
I liked her.
She's a real card shark.
Yeah, and I liked her is Tony Randall dead thing. If yeah. not... He might be, because I think I just hit him with my car, which, of course, I looked up to see. You know, Tony Randall was still very much alive in 1995. He died in 2004.
Do you know this actress? I thought it was, like, someone I should have known.
No, I didn't recognize him.
Okay, because it was, like, at the beginning, it was, like, so-and-so as Aunt Iris. So I'm like, this is like, a Broadway... I don't know.
That's probably
I made an assumption, because she was, like, a smart-talking, like, yeah. to-the-point gal, no-nonsense broad...
She also passed away, sadly, in 2008. Yeah, she must be...
I assumed it was someone I should have known, and I just didn't.
Yeah. I'm looking at her IMDb, which, whoa, I mean, she acted...
Yeah, I assumed as much.
A lot, but, yeah, it describes her as star of stage and screen, so maybe it makes sense. Maybe she's more
she
of a
seemed
stage
very,
person.
Like, stagey. Yeah.
Beverly Garland.
But, yeah, she was kind of like, all right, let's make this quick. The meter's running. Like, she was just very, like, no nonsense.
Yeah, I liked her.
Fast talking.
I liked that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, just that Aunt Iris gave them a lesson.
Yeah.
Made some jokes.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to help all that much. I mean, maybe a little bit.
A little bit, but that was kind of like a feint, if you will.
Yeah.
So then back to Ross's apartment with the whole thing, which reminds me, is this, am I wrong? Is this the first time we've seen Ross's apartment mm-hmm. since the pilot? When Joey and Chandler are helping him move in
to his new place? I think so. You see that dumb dragonfly?
Yeah. But I just remember the, he has that like, what do you call it? There's like a window between the kitchen and the living area, which, you know what I'm saying? Not a window, but like a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Which, Marshall and Lily and Ted's apartment also has.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called.
I don't know what that's called either. The place I lived in when you and I first started dating had that.
Yeah. Like, I guess it's like a bar, kind of.
Mine was a bar, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And that one, and Ross's is, too.
Yeah.
But not the one on How I Met Your Mother, I don't think. There's like a bar, so it's just like a
window. Hole. Yeah.
Just a squared off hole in the wall. Yeah, but like you said, Rachel impresses everyone by being able to do that like weird like shuffle thing where you like throw the cards between your hands, but it's clearly
a just fake like
deck, an accordion.
Yeah, like deck. A prop deck.
It doesn't even look didn't even look real at all.
So no props to the props here.
That you've shortened props to the prop department to just props to the props, which I feel like if someone were a first time listener, they wouldn't. I feel like every once in a while you have to say props to the prop department again.
Just to remind people that that's what I'm
that's what talking that, that's about? What that means.
Okay. I use abbreves more than anyone else I know.
Yeah, you're big on the abbreves. Totes.
Totes abbreves.
Totes abbreves. another thing I like. Like you said, it looks like, they've learned something, but then they all still lose. And then when they're handing over the money they lost, Phoebe says she put a curse on the money. She says, just so you know, that money's cursed. What? I cursed it.
She cursed the $7.50. Yeah. Which was, and that's what reminded me of seeing the $6 on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, so then there's the final poker scene. At Monica and Rachel's. And then this is when, Rachel's waiting for the call from Saks, because she had a really good interview. Hey,
I run the Friends recap here.
Oh, sorry.
You run the How I Met Your Mother recap.
You weren't sticking with it. I feel like you were derailed.
That's part of the nature of the show. The first thing they're back at the for the final game. Rachel's waiting for a phone call, which is why Joey can't order pizza. Very 1995 to be like, he couldn't. Although I did think like, he lives across the hall. He could go use that phone.
Yeah.
Not going to wait till 9 p.m. to order pizza. It's not going to be there till 9:30 at the earliest.
How would we know that Rachel's waiting for an important call?
No, I'm saying she could say that, and then Joey could be like, I'll be right back. I'm going to go across the hall and order a pizza. Yeah. I just felt for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's getting late. They're hungry. They're drinking beer, which...
And Snapple or Sapple. Because
who had Sapple?
There were a few Sapples on the table, so crossed out the N's, and then just like generic beers.
It was generic beer, but it was like a generic like Chinese beer. It was like there was like Asian lettering.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
On the beer in front of Rachel. Chandler's had these unfunny, sometimes funny, sometimes unfunny one-liners the whole episode with the, like, when it's just like, guess what? And he's like, I don't know, the fifth dentist caved and now they're all recommending Trident.
Yeah.
Bad.
That wasn't funny.
Way too, you know, brevity is the soul of wit, Chandler.
Yeah.
That was way too wordy.
Yeah.
But here, Joey gets the uncomfortably long and like, weirdly like un-PC analogy when he puts down his cards and he says I'm folding like and something about like a prostitute getting punched
it was very dark,
very specific, way too long, not funny.
No one even commented on it.
Super weird.
I'm glad no one commented on it.
Yeah
it was very strange,
very weird. But yeah, so they're playing. Another thing, I almost wanted to save this for the Make It Fashion, but Phoebe is like talking shit about Ross and says, plus that shirt doesn't match those pants. And I was like, you're right. His outfit yeah. is stupid and crazy in that scene.
It was stupid and crazy.
He's wearing like, well, like charcoal dress pants with like a Henley, like a burgundy Henley, like tucked in. And then over that,
like a blazer,
he's wearing a blue dress
it.
Shirt
yeah.
unbuttoned.
Yeah. It was odd.
It's a weird look.
Yeah.
Weird look. So good for Phoebe for calling that out. But then we get this, so she doesn't get the job, and then like suddenly the poker thing. This is what I hate about poker scenes, is like, I guess this means something now that she's like, I see and I call and I raise. I don't know what any of this means.
Yeah.
So, but Rachel's going all in, I guess.
Yeah.
Betting her money, betting Monica's money.
Yeah.
Because she just lost a job and she needs the money. Is that what I'm supposed to take away from this?
I think like she's down. Like you don't want to like take all of her, like she's doing things because she's in a bad place,
okay.
you know? So maybe she's like acting recklessly, or maybe she thinks she's going to win and she needs the money because she doesn't have this awesome job.
Yeah.
But we didn't really talk about kind of another theme of the episode was, like, both Ross and Monica are extremely competitive.
Oh, right. I was going to mention that later, but you're right.
Yeah, that's kind of like a motif where they're both like, we always thought that Monica is a competitive one, always has to win, like a perfectionist. But I guess Ross is also competitive
too.
It's
a family trait.
Until, you know, Rachel, his crush, is like down and out. And then.
Well, the first thing he folds.
Yeah.
Or he says he's going to fold, and then she like goads him into getting back in the game.
Yeah.
They drive the betting up really high, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
And then she calls, he calls, someone calls, whatever it is. She shows her cards.
She has a full house.
She has a full house, and he says, you got me, and puts down the, and I was, cringing, waiting for like the dumb reveal that he had a better hand and had chosen to let her win. And I think very wisely the show never showed,
but that's the assumption.
Yeah, but I like that we don't know. I think that's it would have been corny for like Joey to pick up the cards and go like, but Ross, you won or whatever. Like that would have been
for
corny.
That to be like the reveal. Like we all know that.
Yes. I like this way of doing it. If you're going to do it, this is the way to do it. Any other things I missed or any other stray observations before we move on to funniest moments?
Because
that's literally the end of the like Ross and or Joey and Chandler want to see the cards. Ross is like no, and then literally it freeze frame and the and titles come up. So that's the end.
Well, there was a little tag at the end.
Oh
about
yeah, which I was going to get to in a minute.
Pictionary. Oh, okay, then go. Yeah, proceed.
Well, that was going to be my funniest moment, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, there was talk before about how competitive Monica is, where, like, during a game of Pictionary, she, like, threw a plate. So throughout the episode, anytime Monica gets, like, a little bit heated, they're all kind of, like, duck for cover.
Or I like when they're playing poker and Monica's like, I hate this game. And is it Phoebe or whoever's next to her just, like, gently, like, moves the plate out of her reach?
Yeah.
So funniest moment for me, there's a number of them in this episode.
There's a few, yeah.
But the one I think is funniest is in the Pictionary thing when Monica is trying to draw, realizes Bye Bye Birdie, but everyone thinks it's a plane.
Yeah.
And Chandler's guessing movies and he says like Airport 75, Airport 77, Airport, he just names airport movies.
Yeah.
I thought that was the funniest moment. There's another one I'll mention if it's not yours.
I have a few. One is that the first poker game, Monica being Monica, like sets down a tray of assorted crudité.
Salmon. What did she call them? I was trying to look up salmon roulettes.
Salmon.
Is that a thing? A roulette?
I'm sure it is. Yeah. Salmon roulettes and assorted crudité.
Yeah.
And Joey makes an argument like, no. When you're playing poker, you only need like one syllable snacks. You got chips, dips, pretz.
Yeah.
And I like that.
I like that.
But also he violates his own code because he wants to order pizza.
Yeah, some za.
Some yeah.
A pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should.
But
yeah.
No, it literally, could've... when he said the one syllable thing, the first place my mind was, oh, what about pretzels?
Yeah. And then or he... popcorn. But, I mean, they could have gone more with that, like done more with that joke, like, oh, yeah, we got the za, or
yeah,
corns or pops, or, you know, like it could have, or like, they're called pretzels. No, I call them pretz. Like, I think yeah, there could have been more with that joke. Another funny thing, and this is just like a cute Phoebe thing, but when Rachel was talking about like SAT, or she got the interview at Saks, Phoebe said, it's like the mothership calling you home, yeah, which is cute because yeah, Rachel's like a shopaholic.
Yeah.
And a fashionista? Question mark.
We learned she has a very large credit card bill.
Yeah, that's true. We do learn that. My third funniest is when they're kind of like amping up for the last poker game. Ross is like trying to like trash talk a little bit, like,
yeah,
all right, your money's mine, Green. And he had just come out of the bathroom and she's like, your fly is open, Geller.
Yeah.
And just like the delivery and the quickness of it is funny.
Yeah. I want to say that I like that you include multiple funny moments. In my head, it was like, oh, we have to, I always feel like I have to pick one, but no, it's fun.
You could talk about a few.
The other one I liked, and now I can't remember exactly the setup, but Rachel says something about Popular Mechanics.
Oh, yes,
the,
yes,
the
yes,
back scene, yeah. And Chandler says, if you're going to hang out with mechanics, those are the ones to hang out with.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
something like that. Let's move on to Friends, but make it fashion. This one, I also have some... I don't think anyone looked great in this episode. I did like, in the first Central Perk scene, you know, I like when someone just makes a choice, and Ross is wearing a like stop sign red shirt. Yeah. Did you notice this? Just so red.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
Phoebe was wearing also a choice with polka dots, like big giant polka dots. But my favorite was, Rachel, the fashionista, the Peter Pan collar blouse. And she's worn that before. It's blue with a white collar.
But it's not a real... No, it's a black collar. Wait, are we talking about two different things?
The Peter Pan collar? Hold and on, she's working at Central Perk in the first scene when Ross is like pining for her.
Yeah, it's blue with a black collar and matching black cuffs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not a real, it's not an actual collar, because it's like a low-cut top.
Yeah.
But it has the Peter Pan collar around the
yeah, yeah, neckline. Which, and she likes that shirt, because she's worn it
okay
before.
All right. Next segment.
Themes?
Is, motifs? Running joke. Yeah, this is where I was going to, if you hadn't mentioned it, I was going to call out the competitiveness, especially among Monica, from Monica. This seems to be a real running thing.
Yeah. And I think there's also, I noticed this and I've noticed it before, there's kind of like a through line of like faux feminism. Like, we could play poker too. Why do you get to, like, it was just kind of just the silly battle of the sexes.
Yeah.
But when they try to like defend themselves, it's just kind of like a weak argument.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. It's, yeah, the show is so square.
It's very square, yeah.
That I can't see it making any real statements.
Yeah.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Should we move on to How I Met Your Mother, Season 1, Episode 18, Nothing Good Happens After 2 a.m.?
Yes. So
tell us what happened.
Nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
And I'll tell you when I want to hijack your recap.
Oh my God, please. I welcome it. So nothing good happens after 2 a.m. is something that Ted's grandmother always told him.
No, I was confused about that at first. It's Ted's mother. He says grandmother because he's talking to his kids.
Got it. Your grandma.
Yeah. I was also confused about that at first.
You're right. And that's kind of the theme of the episode. So it's kind of like we get a little flashback to the last episode where Robin said, do you want to come over? And it's 2 o'clock. He thinks that Victoria's calling from Germany. So Ted is kind of like ready to end the relationship with Victoria. She still hasn't called him.
Isn't he worried about her?
Yeah, you'd think, right? Because it's already, she was supposed to call at 11 and it's now 2.
2, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so Robin calls him.
What if she got like, I don't know, she like fell into a pretzel machine or... I'm trying to think of things that could happen in Germany.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's at like a bakery institute. She could have, yeah.
Any, she could have gotten pretzeled.
She could have gotten pretzeled.
Yeah.
Rolled with a rolling pin.
Yeah, maybe a huge stein of beer. Again, just more Germany than baking.
Yeah.
Fell on her.
Yes.
So this is worth it.
Yeah, totally. So Robin is like, come over and make some juice. I just got a juicer. And she feels dumb. So that's like the whole like joke is like, yeah, I'm just going to go over there and we're going to make some juice. So he, I guess, goes to the grocery store and buys like beets and carrots to make juice.
Yeah. Anytime you go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. if you live in a movie or on a TV show, you have to make sure to get at least something tall and leafy to stick out of the top of
The beet greens have to stick out. I mean, it's a very large vegetable.
But I'm just saying, it's like it needs to be able to read from across the room as
this
groceries.
Is a bag of groceries.
So you need a leafy green sticking out of the top.
Yeah. So he has a bag of leafy greens and beets. and he's in the cab. He's talking to the cab driver. The first cab driver is... like boozing it up and asks if he wants a nip.
Yes. Did you recognize him? The actor's name, I had to look up, Lawrence A. Mandley.
He looked familiar.
He was in multiple episodes of Seinfeld. He's the manager of Monk's.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. And he is not a fan of the gang, right?
Yeah.
Of George, specifically.
If he managed Central Perk, he'd have kicked them out.
Yes. Yeah.
He's
a no nonsense.
Yeah. He doesn't abide that kind of bullshit.
No.
In his store.
Yeah. Okay. So the taxi driver's drinking. So he gets out, gets another taxi driver. And then he hallucinates Victoria as the driver, as like a manifestation of his subconscious.
Yeah.
So he knows he's going to Robin's and he's maybe convincing himself that it's like harmless because he's still in a relationship with Victoria. He's saying, we're just making juice. It's fine.
I've got the bag of groceries.
I've got the bag of groceries. We see the beet tips. Here we go. So he calls Marshall, right, from the cab?
Yeah. So we...
Marshall is still at the bar from the last episode, karaoke bar.
I'm going to put a pin in this because I feel like you're kind of skipping over a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, no, go.
Because you skipped, like, it goes to, like, from the 2 a.m. to, like, here's what happened that it flashes back and tells the whole day up to that point.
Yeah.
So by the time he gets in the cab, We've already seen a bunch of other stuff that you skipped out. I don't know if you, but like we saw everybody's day leading up to that point, like the whole thing about the career day,
the career day at school.
Before that, Robin getting ready for the day to the tune of All Right by Supergrass.
Yes. I was going to bring up Supergrass.
Yeah. Well, I liked they picked that song. I liked that they timed it so that the line, keep our teeth nice and clean, is playing while she's brushing her teeth.
Yeah.
But of course, yeah, that's a great song. And of course it's in Clueless.
Yes.
It's
one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah. When Cher is like doing like a photo shoot with all her friends, cause she just is actually trying to get Brittany Murphy and Jeremy Sisto like to sit next to each other. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? She's like at the fountain outside the school doing the photo shoot. That's when the Supergrass song plays.
Of course.
But yeah, then there's the, she's at a career day at Lily's school talking about being a reporter, and then Barney
talks about magic.
Yes, which is funny because no, Patrick Harris is like into magic.
He's like a magic castle dude. But yeah, even Lily's like, and he and Barney here is next, and he does. What do you do, Barney?
Yeah. It's
ongoing joke.
Yeah. Did you notice the list of speakers on the board? The last one said Barney, not the purple one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other thing you skipped over is a big guest star in this episode.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Right?
Here we go again.
Robin's co-anchor?
Oh, yes. Alexis
Denisoff, married to Allison Hannigan in real life, but of course we know him as Wesley from Buffy and Angel.
Yes.
And
spoiler alert, he has my funniest line.
We might be competing for the same one. But it's always being someone who knows Alexis Denisoff from Buffy and Angel. It is always weird to hear him talk in his actual American accent.
Yes.
Because we spent like literally 6 years watching him do a British accent.
Yeah. And he does it pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's always weird when he is just talking like the American that he is. But that was I did think that I kind of expected you to call this out because he's like hitting on her. And I wonder what the like. He's being inappropriate in the workplace.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But also, are they peers in the world? Like, is there also
I don't think
like,
there's a power differential. I didn't.
You don't think, because we talked about on Friends when Chandler was like not firing the girl he's dating mm-hmm. and stuff, there was like a power imbalance. Yes. So, but they're co-anchor, so it's not a power imbalance.
Yeah, he's I just didn't. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a creep for sure. And like, you shouldn't proposition your coworker for sex without any sort of like reciprocation at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say there's many funny things that he says. I don't want to say any of them because they could be your funniest line.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's like giving him the whole story about like what's going on with her and Ted and Victoria. And then as soon as there's a lull, he just goes, "We should have sex."
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's more to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I think we're Robin gets home after that and pours herself like half a bottle of wine.
And this was, it's one of those like wine glasses that fits a whole entire bottle of wine. So you can say like, "Oh, I just had a glass of wine." And that's like kind of the joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So props to the props. But yeah, I'm bad with timelines. But so during this cab ride, can I go back to
when? That's where we are. Okay. Now. That's what we're
covering. So do I have your permission to proceed with my recap?
You hijacked mine.
With my discussion?
It's the fucking Wild West on this episode.
Truly, truly. No, I welcome it because I always suffer through these recaps.
I hope that's not true of the listeners.
What do you mean?
That they're suffering through the recaps?
I think they're suffering through my recaps because I'm so scattered.
I don't.
Okay. Anyway.
No, okay.
So he calls Marshall. Marshall's still at the karaoke bar.
But you could just write the things down on your notes in the order that they happen.
I do things my way. That would make too much sense, wouldn't it?
Okay. So yeah, they're on, but
they're at the karaoke.
In the cab, we find out. I think. Robin lives in Park Slope.
Yes.
I don't know if we knew that before, but he says he's on the way to Park Slope. And yeah, so back to the karaoke bar where they still are, because it's New York City and the bars don't close at fucking 1:30 like they do here in Los Angeles.
Yes, exactly. So they befriend a Korean Elvis, right, at the karaoke bar.
Which I have in my notes. That's given when this episode came out and the fact that it is written and produced in Los Angeles, that's clearly a reference to Ty Elvis.
That's what I was thinking, but it wasn't a Ty Elvis.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Ty Elvis had that like trademarked. For those who don't know, because I don't know if Ty Elvis still performs. I haven't seen him in forever.
Yeah.
But there was a Thai guy who would...
Blue Palm?
There was a Thai restaurant. I think you had it right. Blue Palm?
Blue Palm? Or was that the bar next door?
I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But I used to live right by there and you used to work right by there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a Thai restaurant that had an Elvis impersonator who would perform while it was great. He was great. And it felt like this is clearly something that like the writers know about, and they're writing Korean Elvis instead of Thai Elvis. But just so people who aren't Angelinos listening to this know, there really was a Thai Elvis, and he was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there was. So he calls Marshall, and Marshall knows that Robin has feelings for Ted, but only because Lily told him in secret. So he's trying to be kind of like on the DL, saying like, don't go over there. This is bad. You're still in a relationship with Victoria. Don't do it. And then Lily gets on the phone, and it occurs to Marshall that everyone knows, or, you know, Robin has told everyone except him, and he kind of feels bad about it.
Yeah, well, I guess except him and Ted.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. So everyone else at the table. So,
but yeah, we get here.
Barney and Lily.
Yeah.
So then Lily.
He's especially mad that Barney knows.
Yes. Yeah. So Barney knows. Lily gets on the phone and says, Robin has feelings for you. Don't do this. This is a bad idea. She's vulnerable. You're in a relationship. It's a big lie. It's a crime. She calls it a crime.
Well, we haven't. Did we mention the lie?
Oh, so the lie is that Ted hasn't broken up with Victoria, and he says Robin, that he broke up with her. So it is a big lie.
Yeah, it's
and it backfires like, majorly.
And that's what the you know what? No, I'll save this for later. Go ahead.
Okay, so Ted goes over, finally gets to Robin's. Love all the dogs. They're the five dogs.
We did skip that Marshall in trying to come up with reasons that Ted shouldn't go over said that a truck full of sulfuric acid crashed and there's a huge hole and you can see straight down into hell outside Robin's apartment, which is weirdly made me think of this as
Hellmouth.
Oh, Hellmouth, yes.
Or Buffy, because we have Alexis and we have
Allison.
Yeah.
Wesley and Willow. But I was thinking of This Is the End, that movie which Jason Segel is in as himself. And I think he actually falls into a hole down to hell.
So Ted is at Robin's. They decide instead of juice, they're just going to drink wine, which is like, uh-oh. Ted continues to have these hallucinations of Victoria, or manifestations of his subconscious about... Victoria.
I liked that while fake Victoria was quote unquote driving the cab, she wasn't actually holding the steering wheel. She was making a cupcake.
Yeah. And then hands it to him. Yeah. That is very funny. So you think that Ted is like going to leave. He's wrapping it up, but of course he doesn't. They start kissing and then they're hot and heavy on the couch, like full on making out. And Robin says, do you want to go to the bedroom? And he's like, yes, I do. I'm going to use the bathroom real quick. And he goes into the bathroom. And then we get a Victoria manifestation. And she's having a talk with him about, like, if you call to break up, like he's saying, okay, I'm going to break up with you now. And she's like, if you call and break up with me, it's going to be at least 20 minutes. Like, you don't want Robin to think you are in the bathroom for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a joke there. But yeah, it occurs to Ted that he's holding Robin's phone. So she has Ted's phone, and over the course of him being in the bathroom talking to Victoria manifestation, Victoria is talking to Robin, and clearly, I don't know what she says to him. I don't know what they talk about, but it's evident that they're not broken up.
Yeah, that would come up.
Yeah. So
I did think when earlier in the episode, when Ted is like making awkward small talk about getting a new phone and that it's the same one that Robin has, I was like, well, that's clearly going to come up.
They're going to. Yeah. They're talking about phones. And they also use it as like a symbolism for their relationship. He's like, this is the phone that I know I've always wanted. That's always been there. You know, it's kind of like about their relationship.
Yeah. Real subtle.
So Robin is like, well, that was Victoria. I think you need to call her back.
She says you need to call back your girlfriend.
Yeah. Like yeah. So it's like busted. So he fucked it up. Right? That's what it is,
but I like that.
He
busted.
He fucked up.
Ooh.
So yeah, and it's kind of like, well, told you so.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add to?
Yeah, a couple things. I weirdly, unfortunately, I cut you off because you were talking about Lily's speech to Ted about the lie.
Yeah.
But I just like Lily being right about stuff. More on this later, actually, now that I think about it. When we get to similarities and differences between the two shows, I'll talk about this more. The other thing is, there is a last scene with
Lily kicking.
Yeah, so Lily kicks Korean Elvis because he says something inappropriate to her. We don't know. He like says it in her ear, and she kicks him in the nards. And then, like, immediately after it happens, Barney says something like, "Hey guys, remember that time Lily kicked Korean Elvis in the nards?"
Well, he. Oh. Yeah, go.
And I was just thinking about how in, like, internet speak, like, that sort of setup, like, saying, hey, remember when, and talk about something that happened very recently or happened that day, has become, like, a common thing now.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a meme in 2006, whenever this was.
Right. Yeah, I think we do that, too. Like, it's an obvious, like, remember when we took Darla on a walk, or like it's dumb.
Like, we recently went to like Seattle for the first time, and then I'll be like unpacking when we get back, and I'll say, remember when we went to Seattle?
Or even more recently, remember when I was on The Price is Right?
Yeah, that's right.
I was on The Price is Right.
She got called to come on down.
Yeah, I didn't get on stage though, so
you were the last person. You weren't like some contestants we could name who spent the entire damn episode in Bitters Row.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them, but also like that person tried to screw you with their 1101.
Yes.
Bid.
She was a real topper. I did win $300 though. Anyway, throughout this whole episode, Barney is like making the argument that like only amazing and legendary things happen after 2 a.m. And then he references the Liberty Bell, which was an episode that we watched when he licks the Liberty Bell.
And there was another funny joke in there, and he was like, my almost foursome. And Marshall's like, you never had a foursome. I said almost. That was funny.
Yeah. So his argument is like, he wants to like keep hanging out, get crazy. Lily is, right in the end.
Last thing I want to mention, what was with that weird, on Robin's wall art, that weird, like, photo of the, like, girls in, like, an AC/DC t-shirt? Did you see that?
Yeah, I think it was, like, I feel like this was very popular in that era of, like, sending photos in to have them, like, sepia-toned. It was, like, her and her friends. Like
was
a poster, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or like a cart, like a animated version of them.
Okay.
Like touched up in a weird cartoonish way.
I've said this before about when we talk about the two shows. Like Friends is long ago enough to feel vintage in terms of like design and fashion, and How I Met Your Mother is still recent enough that it just seems tacky.
Yeah.
That was very tacky. I didn't like that.
Yeah. Well, when we go to Ross's apartment, he also has like a Speed Racer poster.
That's right. Yeah. Which I don't buy that he's into Speed Racer.
Yeah. He has like a lot of like fake like bones and like, oh, he's a paleontologist. This is why he likes this. I don't know. The dragonfly is so cheesy.
He also has like an enormous like machete, or I don't know what that.
Yeah.
Like some sort of bladed.
I believe he's like a sword guy.
That I would believe.
Yeah.
Which is like, Marshall and Ted and Lily have swords on the wall,
true.
Too.
That's true. Similarities.
Lily got run through with a broadsword.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, yeah. Should we move on to the funniest, or do you have more to add on the
No, please.
Discussion?
I don't have anything else to add about Robin's tacky wall art. What is your funniest?
When Alexis Denisov, the co-anchor, just like after he propositions Robin, he just makes the declaration, having sex is fun.
Yeah.
Which is.
Yeah. Because she says something like, we shouldn't be like, I don't get involved.
He's like, I'm not involved.
Having sex is fun.
Yeah.
That was on mine too. So my follow-up will be, and this wasn't specifically a line, it's more just in the performance and the editing. Marshall and Barney once again get into an argument over who's better friends with Ted, mm-hmm. but it immediately turns into a very heated, like, shouting match where they stand up and they're yelling at each other across the table, and then it just cuts to, like, Lily sitting in between them.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny. You didn't, it seems like.
Well,
you're sighing.
I was just annoyed. This will come up later when we have another topic.
Oh, okay. We don't have that many topics left. So let's move into, let's do How I Met Your Mother, but make it fashion.
I just noted camis and cardies. Camisoles and cardigan combos.
Yeah, this show's
big. Cami cardi combos. Camisoles. Yeah.
Camisoles
for all the women.
To How I Met Your Mother as turtlenecks are to Friends.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of fashion here that I liked at all. Especially,
it wasn't great.
For most of the episode, most of the characters are in the same outfits they were in at the end of the previous episode. Mm-hmm. But I did mention, we both mentioned Lily's dress
yes.
at the karaoke bar. She's still wearing that most of yeah. the episode, so that's great.
Still looks great. Yeah. Statement necklace. Still making a statement.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there are... This show, How I Met Your Mother, is just one of those shows that has so many running jokes and that like I'm just listing the same ones every time. So here we had Barney giving a high five. This was the variation was because it was to a little kid. He said tiny five.
Yeah,
that was cute. You mentioned the running joke of not knowing what Barney does. I mentioned the running joke of Marshall and Barney both thinking they're Ted's best friend. Mm-hmm. The blue French horn is again on Robin's mantle, and then we get a lot of use out of the word legendary mm-hmm. in this episode. Mm-hmm. That's a big Barney catchphrase, mm-hmm. the word legendary, and breaking it down, which he does here, and he says, we're only at the we've got the gin, the duh, the re, and then Lily says, well, if we're only at the let's change it to let's go home and go to bed.
Yeah, which is really funny.
Yeah.
And then Marshall, like, quips something after.
Yeah,
like,
you got an own phonic style
or
something?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a cute couple, huh?
They are very cute.
Marshmallow and Lily Pad.
We talked about the dogs, but, like, the very final scene where, you know, Robin is clearly, like, hurt by Ted, who's a monster, basically. Mm-hmm. And she, like, cuddles up with her dogs. And the Dalmatian was, like, such a good animal actor and, like, perched his head on her. It was very cute and very sad.
Yeah, that Dalmatian was cute.
I don't like that there's animal actors, but I love dogs.
Yeah.
They're always cute to see.
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. Yeah, that there's a lot of abuse and mistreatment in that world of animal.
Yeah, it's non-consensual.
Yeah.
They're not getting paid.
But there is something cute about the fact that dogs on TV don't know they're on TV.
They don't know they're on TV, but they should. They should. Informed consent.
Do you think that's part of, like, because right now, all the
photos I take of my dog are probably cruel.
Wasn't anywhere near what I was going to say.
Okay, go.
Like, all of the unions are striking or have agreed to strike in the entertainment industry. Do you think the animal actors should strike as well?
How cute would that be?
Yeah. They can't hold signs. Only the monkeys can hold signs.
Yeah.
Most animals don't have opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
But would a dog have, like, a sign in its mouth? Like a picket sign walking around?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cute.
I've seen dogs, like, at protests, but it's, like, the owners who, like, dress them up.
Yeah. Well, this is just to say that I'm pretty sure we're on the same page here in terms of standing with these unions against unfair working conditions and expectations.
Absolutely.
People should have. I think one of the things they're fighting for is a standard, like, turnaround time between days. So if a day goes long, you don't
have to go first thing in the morning.
Yeah, you don't have to be back in four and a half hours or whatever.
And it shouldn't be just like the 8 hours that you're expected to sleep. It's like getting home, having a meal,
The entertainment industry seems to think that they're, I don't know, curing cancer or saving lives or doing something because they treat, like, treat everything as it's as if it's an exception, and right. like, well, this is different. You know, you this is how things are here. You got to pay your dues, and you got to struggle your way. Just because,
right.
like,
right.
It's a fallacy in the way of thinking of just because things were hard for you or you struggled, then that means that
you have other to earn
people
it.
Have to like yeah. should also go through that.
Yeah.
Anyway, off topic, but that's pet. I don't know, pet cause, I guess, for me.
For these pets.
Let's move in to similarities and differences. I always call out when they drink on Friends because it's still fairly rare, but
they were drinking wine and champagne and beer.
Yeah, they did poker night.
Yeah.
I wonder how Joey feels, though, about champagne at poker night because it's two syllables.
Right. Well, I mean, he broke his rules already with the pizza.
But like I said, people call pizza. He could call it a pie.
Also, Snapple iced tea. We don't know who.
Yeah, tea, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So if Joey wanted to get into the spirits at the game instead of wine and beer,
mm-hmm.
he could drink scotch or gin.
Or rum.
Or rum.
Or vod.
Yeah, those are the ones he could drink.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the main thing in terms of similarities and differences here is that Ted, the first thing I thought when Ted lies about having broke up with Victoria, the first thing I thought is, that's something Ross would do.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, and I don't want to sound like I'm singing How I Met Your Mother's praises. We've talked about it. It's been problematic in a lot of other ways. But How I Met Your Mother is more self-aware about the ways in which Ted is a tool and a douchebag.
Yeah.
Hence, as case in point, Lily, the show's voice of reason,
yes.
has a very impassioned speech about not only why it's wrong for him to do that, it's also like, is this how you want to start a relationship?
Right. Based on a crime.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think whereas we've seen other things with like Ross, like lying to, what was his name? Paolo about mm-hmm. Rachel, like mm-hmm. just like trying to like scheme
yeah.
to, and that's, it's even worse on Friends because at least on How Many Other, like Ted has confirmation that Robin's into
it's
him.
It's reciprocated.
Yeah. But Friends tends to treat this kind of thing as like, oh, Ross, what a scamp.
Yeah.
Whereas, Ted, still our hero, quote unquote, of the show, our protagonist at least, but, the show is much more aware
yeah.
of the ways that he's, I don't know, toxic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Also, similarity, we talked about behaving in public like they're the only ones who are there.
Yeah.
So in the bar, they're like screaming at each other, their right. antics. Like if I was sitting in that bar, I'd be so annoyed and upset at yeah. these obnoxious people. And same with that Central yeah. Perk. You know, they always yeah. just have the full run of the place and the so extras. You're saying,
if you were at that karaoke bar just trying to catch up with old friends and have one drink at 2:30 in the morning, you'd be annoyed by the shouting people. I feel like at that time of night, like,
you think I'm the shouting person?
No, no. What I'm saying is like, you're at a karaoke bar at 2:30 in the morning. Like you can't expect that much civility.
I guess. Yeah, I guess.
Well, if we're done with that, we get to do our favorite part. We get to play favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. you're going to count us down, right? Or count us up
from three?
Which way you do it?
I don't remember. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
How Friends. I Met Your Mother.
Oh.
Number one problem with How I Met Your Mother, with Friends this week for me, too much poker.
Too much poker.
But also those overly wordy quips.
Mm-hmm.
They rub me the wrong way when there's too many of them. It's something you and I are watching. I try not to get too much into like current TV
mm-hmm.
critique on this show because we're talking about old TV. But we're watching Ted Lasso, and I think like a lot of people, you and I are both very disappointed in this second season after having liked the first season.
Growing tiresome.
And that's another thing that they like. It's like the middle of the scene, and Ted will be like, "Well, you know, like." such and such says in the such and such. And it's like, fucking,
we just have to wait.
Yeah. Everyone, all the other actors have to just like wait for the punchline to come.
Yeah.
So that stuff gets on my nerves.
I thought that the Friends episode was so much funnier. I had like multiple funny lines, whereas How I Met Your Mother, it just had like one.
But yeah, but I guess How I Met Your Mother had, I think, okay, this just occurred to me, so maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like How I Met Your Mother more often has things that are funny that aren't dialogue or aren't just jokes.
Yes.
I mean, Friends, we've talked about physical humor in Friends.
Yes.
It's done very well when it's done. Last week, Ross dropping the cake was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Way back when he did laundry with Rachel and he walked into the open dryer door.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
But more, I feel like more often How I Met Your Mother has touches like Victoria putting batter on frosting on a cupcake,
or Marshall loving the cake, like eating the cake at the wedding in the background.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess they're mostly cake related, but, but no, or like I talked about, like it's not just that it's funny that Marshall and Barney are yelling about being Ted's best friend. I like just the cut to Lily sitting in between, like, ugh.
Yeah.
So I found this, How I Met Your Mother, to be funnier, and it had considerably less poker in it. So that's definitely part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we get to move on to my favorite segment to introduce.
Mm-hmm.
It's a segment that I call How Were We Doing? And it's where we talk about what was going on in the world on the days that these shows first aired. So Friends Season 1, Episode 18, the one with all the poker, aired on March 2nd, 1995.
Okay.
I pulled this up. The Space Shuttle Endeavour launched on that day.
Mm.
I don't remember which one Endeavour is.
I think that's housed at the California Science Center.
Oh, we've seen that.
Yeah. Is that at California Science Center? I want to say I've seen Endeavour.
Let's see. Space Shuttle Endeavour is a retired orbiter. And where is it now? Where is it?
Where is that? Is that endeavors that to find. Oh, I'm bad at this. We can come back to it, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Well, okay. How about I just Google Space Shuttle
Endeavour?
No, I'm saying Space Shuttle Los Angeles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Science Center. That is.
Where else would
that is the Endeavour.
That? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I was just trying to confirm that it was the Endeavour.
Yeah.
Natalie?
Yeah.
All right, what else happened on that day? Anything else important? This says, see, sometimes I disagree, because this says that Sheryl Crow and Tony Bennett win on honors is how I say it, because I'm from the Midwest, honors at the Grammy Awards. But I looked up and it said the Grammys in 1985, it said that they were March 1st, the day before. Maybe they won after midnight?
Huh.
The Grammys don't go that late.
No. But that's probably when the news story
maybe
broke.
Maybe. But speaking of, Tony Bennett recently announced he's going to be retiring.
It's about time.
He's had a long run. I mean, he's 95 and he still has shows like on the schedule, but he's going to retire, at least from performing. He might still be recording. He's got another album of duets with Lady Gaga.
Yeah, he deserves a break.
But he seems like a good guy.
He's having fun, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know if he's a good guy?
No,
I mean, Lady Gaga's friends with him.
Yeah. No, I just don't know if he's having a good time.
Lady Gaga's judgment?
No, I do. I don't know if he's having a good time.
He always comes across like he's having a good time.
Yeah.
Bennett's not his real name.
Okay.
Top five songs in the U.S. Madonna, Take a Bow, TLC, Creep, mm-hmm. Boyz II Men on Bended Knee, Soul for Real, Candy Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Hum a few bars.
You won't know it because this is not. Oh, shoot.
And Brandy Baby. But what is Candy Rain?
I'm thinking of Candy Coated Rainbow.
Well, that's not.
Yeah, that's it.
Soul for Real.
Is it Do You Ever Dream of Candy Coated Raindrops? Like yes, it. Yes, it is.
I like it. And then How I Met Your Mother Season 1, Episode 18, Nothing Good Happens After 2 a.m., aired on Monday, April 10th, 2006. And weirdly, just a coin, I have no idea what this means, but the European Space Agency's Venus Express space probe entered Venus's orbit. So just keeping it
spacey.
Keeping it spacey. Something that House of Cards didn't do.
Yeah.
Keep it spacey. And what else? No, apparently no one was born on that day.
Yep.
Sorry, no one of note was born on March 10th.
My mom was born the day
April
after.
April 10th, rather. Sorry, April 10th.
April 10th.
Your mom was born on March 11th.
Yes.
But not in 2006.
No.
Top five songs in the U.S. on that day. Once again, Daniel Powder's Bad Day shot up to the top after having just entered the top five last week. Shot up to the top.
God.
Terrible song. Sean Paul's Temperature.
Nope.
James Blunt's You're Beautiful. Terrible song.
Terrible song.
T.I.'s What You Know.
We don't talk about him.
Oh, he got Me Too'd too? T.I.? Yeah,
he went with his daughter to the gynecologist.
Oh, Christ, that was him. Yeah, that's insane.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's more, he didn't just, like, take his daughter to the gynecologist. If you don't know the story, look it up.
Yeah, we don't have to.
It's not like, he's not getting canceled for dropping his daughter off to the gynecologist. No. It's more like... like it's fucking medieval. It's
yes, yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, I forgot that was him.
Yeah.
And then Mary J. Blige's "Be Without You." Again, this.
Yeah. No.
2006. I don't know. I don't know what's happening in music.
Yeah.
Nothing good. We either don't know these songs or they're god awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's move on to the final segment, which is called "Challenge Accepted," and this is where we. Oh, I didn't do my like finger thing.
It was okay. It's okay that you didn't.
Not okay with me. I'm really letting it slide. This is where we make predictions about what's going to happen in the next episode of each show based on the titles. But first we have to revisit our predictions for last week. So I predicted that the one with all the poker would be about Phoebe coming or spilling the beans to the gang that she and Joey shared a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I wrote that she and Joseph snogged. Remember? Yeah. I wrote that last week to make myself laugh this week.
And it worked.
Yeah. So I was wrong there, obviously. I don't know if that was just a one-off thing. I never know. You predicted that Ted would experience a comedy of errors trying to get to Robin's. I think you were kind of right. I mean, that wasn't what the episode was about, but there was the whole thing with, like, he had to get a second
cab.
The
different cab drivers.
Victoria appeared to him.
Yeah.
I think that counts.
I think, more so. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I guess so. But, you don't like poker, but there will be a, spoilers, there will be more of high stakes gambling.
Okay.
On Friends.
Okay. I was going to say I like gambling, but you and I have talked about this. I think the pandemic might have rid me of the gambling bug.
Until we get to Vegas and
we'll see.
We want back at that table. But yeah, I mean, save you some money. That's good.
Yeah.
So you don't want to play bingo at the Plaza?
The Plaza? Yeah, maybe I do. Season 1, episode 19 of Friends is called The One Where the Monkey Gets Away.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to cheat and say my prediction is that Marcel gets away.
But I... Okay, yeah.
That's too... Like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Not making it fun.
Yeah.
You seem to think I should just cheat?
Well, I mean, you can say... Marcel gets away and...
Yes, that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
I'm going to say... Oh, okay. if you remember, Rachel met Paolo because his cat was loose in the building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Ross meets a potential romantic interest while looking for Marcel.
Okay. All right. Lock it.
Well, this is where you have to vamp.
Lock it in. But I have to know, give me the name of the How I Met Your Mother episode and I'll think about it while you...
No.
Oh.
It's not fun.
Oh. Okay.
We're here to put each other on the spot. That's okay. Part of the fun. Ross meets a... Oh, go ahead.
No. I'm just trying to vamp about Marcel because I feel the same way that you do. I don't like... So Marcel loves the song Lion Sleeps Tonight and was like playing it on repeat over and over again in the Friends episode.
Because he knows how to operate a compact disc.
He just like presses it. Yeah.
Well, first he takes the disc, puts it in the slot, yeah. Closes the disc and presses play.
Yeah.
Which would be funny if I didn't find monkeys. So.
And then he does like a little dance to it, which I just know that there's like a handler offset, like with a treat, you know, like so to make it bob its head up and down.
Was Marcel actually doing that
or
dance?
Or could have been.
Or was it in editing that they made it look editing. Like? It might have been editing. That's what I thought. It was like an editing.
It could have been editing.
So season 1, episode 19 of How I Met Your Mother, Natalie, is called Mary the Paralegal. That's Mary, the name Mary. It's not about, I'm not okay. saying wed the paralegal. It's saying there's a person named Mary and she's a paralegal.
Okay. Mary the Paralegal. Ooh. Okay. I know that Marshall is working as an attorney for Barney's evil corporation.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a paralegal and it kind of causes a rift between Marshall and Lily. Cause we haven't had a Marshall Lily story.
Okay.
Well,
so how should I,
Mary is a paralegal at, Marshall's job who maybe she has the hots for Marshall. Mary the paralegal has the hots for Marshall, like everyone should and does. Right?
Hold on, I'm typing it. I'm typing a paralegal at work has the hots for Marshall, like everyone should and does.
Yes. Yes.
So that's the next thing that I'm going to forget that I wrote, and we'll read it next
It'll
week
give you a little chuckle.
On the podcast. Like, yeah. we leave these little treats for ourselves.
Yes.
Well, I think that's it. We reached the end of the discussion of season 1, episode 19 of both Friends and How I Met Your Mother. You can find me at. You can find this podcast and my other podcast, Battleship Retention, at BattleshipRetention.com and find my movie reviews and stuff there. You can email me at David@BattleshipRetention.com. But more importantly, you can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. Please do that.
Yeah, and you can rate and review on iTunes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because that'll help more people find us, so we'll know we're not just speaking into the void.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah. I wonder if we have any... we still just have just the one review, 5 stars. I love this person.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Give us 5 stars.
Yeah, you don't have to give us 5 stars. You should. Why not?
Yeah.
Right?
Why not? So, yeah, and did I say... I'm on Twitter at Davey Pretension. I literally... almost just called you Tyler because I'm doing my like plug spiel that I do on Battleship Retention. Yeah. And I almost said like,
you can reach
Tyler,
me,
do you have anything
Tyler
to plug?
At the Pretension.
So, my wife, Natalie, do you have anything to plug?
Nope. Just the show, rate and review.
All right. Well,
until next time, catch us at the Endeavor exhibit.